Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, Kurt Knowles set to join us on the backside of some technical difficulties. So we join this in progress. F-18 man, Kurt Knowles, fighter pilot. And you're going to hear from F-18 man right now. Here he is, no commercial break, right into it. Say something, man. What are you? What's going on? What are you doing?
I am waiting for you.
All right, you're live on the radio, so don't say anything that you don't want other people to know.
Oh, you call me live right now? We up?
Yes, I called you live. We're up.
Well, you know, because I literally, and I'm not even, you're going to, because I know you, you're going to say I'm brown nosy. But I'm not. I was literally, I just put a pen down, and I was writing notes because I just wrote down coin toss tactics / dice rolls. So the reason why I did it is I'm brainstorming in my head about decision making from a coach's perspective. Like, imagine if I simulated, okay, we're on, you know, you think of battlefield, I think soccer field. We're on a soccer field, and it's a corner kick. What formation are we going to line up in? Well, let's run the echo. Who remembers the echo? It's like deposits. You know what I mean? It's like, no, make a decision. Which one are you going to run? Okay, we're going to run the echo. Okay, who goes where? All right, boom. All right, is this corner kick going to go in? Is it going to be a good corner kick? Well, let's flip a coin. You know what I mean? I'm brainstorming in my head as you're talking, like, how can I get this tactical decision-making and the, you know, you can always drive it. It's the predictable, but I love your idea of using the coin or a dice roll as let's see what happens. You know what I mean? You make a decision and let's evolve and adapt and not just stand there. As I would tell the players, your feet aren't glued to cement. Like, you've got to move. You've got to make a decision. And I think this is great, man. I think you're really onto something from a player perspective and a coach's perspective.
Well, you know where I learned my training from athletics, from watching my dad every night manage a lineup, right, with pinch hitters, with relief pitchers, and trying to engineer a matchup that was in his favor. And I grew up watching that every night as a little boy, and I learned how to do it. And so I was supposed to do what Rudy did. I was supposed to fly an F-18. That's the picture they showed me, man, when they got me to sign my contract. And then once I got to the basic school, I found that, no, I'm a natural at this. This is me, man. These are my people. This is my tribe. That aviator stuff, come on, man. That's not me. And so it's kind of full circle. And then what I did try to do is I tried to apply the things that I learned in sports to combat in terms of teaching it. How do you teach it? You know, and again, I mean, you stood around those sand tables, right? Who wants to volunteer?
Nobody wants to do it because it gets boring, it's dry, it's like you're just moving pieces, but no, it's,
and then you get, and
everyone,
but at the end, they
step they, up.
They play that they play that, what if this? What if the enemy does this? What if the enemy becomes invisible and then all of a sudden you hear them behind you and somebody's pulling down their pants? Oh, that's not good. I know that. So, you know, it's like all the stupid, again, it gets stupid. But the worst part is it's debilitating because the skill you need to influence towards is being decisive. Don't worry about being right. You can't control everything. So be decisive. If you screw it up, then just be more decisive, right? But you're an American. You're a Marine. Okay, you have, God has blessed you. You're a Marine infantry officer in this case. Okay, you have you fight the greatest fighters on the planet. So don't be afraid. Just make another good decision, and let it rip. And that's what I tried to get institutionalized. But it works with anybody who leads. anybody who leads. That decisiveness, and you could do it with corporations. You know, you could, okay, you know, we've had this catastrophe. We're running this package out there. Okay, two trucks collide with a car, and now they're down. Now what? Well, that means we can't get it up. So what do we have to do? We have this reserve package. Is it manned? Is it ready? Well, no. Where are the drivers? They're not there. Okay, get them there. And so, you know, and to me, I've always loved it because it's leadership, it's decision making, it's awesome. So anyway, so I was at the basic school and they've ripped all the old stuff down that you and I went through and it's beautiful now. The classrooms, unbelievable. The sand table rooms, beautiful. Man, it's awesome. It is an educator's dream, you know, to prepare young Marine leaders for, And Rudy can tell you. Rudy, does anybody put out a second lieutenant equivalent like the Marine Corps does?
Oh, definitely not. I mean, the leadership, just like being around not only seasoned leaders from the Marine Corps, but then the intimacy you have with your fellow lieutenants that you are, you know, good, bad, or others, you take away things from either what they've done in their civilian world, what they've done in their sports life, what they've done. Maybe they're prior enlisted. I mean, it's like having this really intimate 100-class college, you know, 100-person class college, and you're living it, you know, and everyone has to live in the dorms, you know, and you only have the weekends off, and it's just such an amazing leadership experience that I don't think, it's got to be second to none, and I don't think any of us walk out of there the same person as you walked in.
No.
And I think you learn lessons there that you carry with you for the rest of your life, either subliminally or actively.
Especially as a novice. I mean, think about it. You know, if you were a corporation, you said, okay, we're going to screen, we're going to take all these, you know, this class in of future, you know, executives here for us here at IBM. We're going to put them through our normal 90-day seminar. And then from there, they're going to go to additional training with their wherever we're sending them. If we're going to send them to hardware, if we're going to send them to software, if we're going to send them to services, then they'll go do that for do OJT for a period of another 90 days. And that would be akin to what the military does now. However, you have the Marine Corps that comes in and says, yeah, well, after we initially go through their indoc and we make sure that we want them, then we're going to send them to another 6 months of training. What? Yeah, we're just going to keep them in an incubator, and we're going to teach them everything that they need to know about IBM, about corporate leadership, about how to treat people, about all the different phases of our business. Then we're going to send them to services, hardware, software development, one of those. And then they'll do it. Then they'll do their 90-day OJT thing there. What? So you're gonna take them in something that we were gonna send them just do 90 days additional training after initial screening. You're gonna do three times that? Yeah, that's what I'm proposing. And that's what the Marine Corps has done forever. And I would tell you what, when you see the shit show that Navy junior officers are, the Navy needs to have a basic school. They desperately need to have a basic school because you produce confident leaders. That's what you produce.
Well, I believe wasn't that a finding in one of the recent investigations was they're not doing as much training at the surface warfare officer level as they did in the past.
Oh,
that they're doing more
computer
based training and
yep.
You're learning off a computer. And I know that there's value to that. In some regards, as far as saving money and time and resources, but that scholastic, you know, what I call intimate atmosphere and leadership, just, I mean, I can just tell you that I, you know, Cal Worth, who's selected for general now, I mean, I used to watch the way he would stand. You know what I mean? Like, I'd watch the way that he'd walk up to his troops. I mean,
right.
You're going to tell me you get that same type of leadership by example off a computer?
No.
You know what I mean, Mac?
No.
It's like that's what
no,
you
the Navy made a horrible,
I be him.
Horrible mistake when they bought into online training can replace surface warfare officer school, because what you learn at those schools is way more than the knowledge that comes out of the book. You learn how to be a leader. And the Navy failed, in my opinion, across the board. And now they're going to stand that school back up, and they're going to embrace it. Well, we need to.
You know, I think if you take away stuff from your leaders, constant. I mean, General Furness, his raw and his emotion and his love for the Marines, you just can't help but go, I want to have that type of passion. Or, you know, Colonel McCullough's calmness under pressure. It's like, okay, we're receiving fire over here. Let's adjust fire this way. I mean, it's like the guy's blood pressure never rises above, I think, 122. You know what I mean? It's just like, Bill McCullough's, his calmness under the highest level of pressure. I mean, you follow people and you get these experiences at the base of school from these amazing mentors and leaders that you cannot get it any other place as far as training.
All right, we got to switch gears. I want to talk about reunions. I want to talk about staying connected for about 15 minutes. We all went to pay our respects last week at a change of command for our regimental commander, who's now the CG of the 2nd Marine Division. Overall, give me your thoughts on that.
Well, the change of command was epic, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. No, it was.
I mean, how many? I've never seen 4,000 troops marching at one time. It was just absolutely epic. And to see all of that equipment out there, all those Marines out there, and what you don't see is the rehearsals. And they've spent hours and hours preparing and out there sloshing in that mud, and it's raining and trying to make it right, and the sergeant majors are, you know, on them about covering alignment and, you know, snap the flags and your colors need to be pointed this way. I mean, they're just the details. And then to see them perform, a group of 4,000 perform it, I mean, it's just amazing. You know, it really was amazing. But the reunion side of it, I would say it was like, the term we keep using is the catcher's mitt, but what you find, I think, for many of us is that catcher mitt, you lost it a little bit, and you've been looking for it, and it's been in the garage, you just can't seem to find it, and then you open up that cabinet, and you go, oh, there it is, and you slide it on, and it's like, holy smokes, this feels right, let's go throw the ball around a little bit. I mean, it's like, I don't know about you, but I was like, let's get back to Afghanistan, let's go do this, you know what I mean, and then,
well, let's
General
not
Furness,
get carried away with it. Let's hang out a little bit more, maybe.
Well, we have to go next week.
Exactly.
We can do a little workup.
Do we need? Can we?
So, but General Furness even said, you know, he kept joking. He's like, we got the band back together. I'm like, it does feel like that. You know what I mean? It's like, it feels like we got the band back together.
Talk about the importance of that. I think we've all had the same experience in that kind of a post-euphoric. It wasn't a near-death experience. It was just a reunion. I wasn't even focused on that part of it. But I don't think every night we got to bed really late. We were hardly drinking.
I told Sydney, I go, I think I had like a beer and a half each night. I mean, I was barely drinking. But we were staying up till 3 in the morning. Telling stories.
So you made a comment. And one of our friends made a comment to you about how important us texting on a daily basis is, and events like that change of command that turns into a reunion are to, and I would say to all of us, talk about that.
There's a group of like 5 of us that are on a text stream that I think we text almost every other day or something. It could be just about a baseball game. It could be about what's going on, and then what's cool about it is it's the relationship we all have where it can change to something serious, like real quick, and no one's going to talk crap about it. But it's a way that we've stayed connected. I think it's what you realize is it's important to all of us, in different ways, but in a lot of similarity. And what I think I saw out there last week was that there's guys or girls that don't have that don't feel as connected as we do, and it's you know, it's not that they're not good guys or not good people, but they just don't have the opportunity or haven't had the chance to get together. And in seeing them, and almost kind of you feel like the desire, the want to still stay connected to people that you've shared a lot of experiences with and time with and built relationships with, you know,
What does that do for you? What does that do for you? Because people that are listening, let's just say people who haven't done that, who have our experiences and haven't stayed connected, what does that do for you? And why would you tell them, hey, you know what? You got to reconnect with your besties, your battle buddies. Why? What does it do for you?
I have picked up the phone more in the last 6 months and called people out of the blue that I haven't talked to in years, because what I'm hearing over and over from the five of us is how important it is that we've stayed connected. So I have literally, if you think I should call that person, I haven't talked to them for a while, you should. And because they want to hear their voice, and they want to hear that you're on their mind, that you're still a part of their lives. What the five of us being connected in a kind of a cheesy way, but it's like that text string is important to all of us, is that we still feel like we are bonded, and you have somebody on your left and right that you can rely on, just like we did in the Marine Corps. I would say that I just recently called a gentleman that I worked with in North Carolina. I hadn't talked to him in like 4 years, and I was like, I'm calling him because I lost a close friend to suicide about less than a year ago, and I was with him that day. And I will never forgive myself for saying, should I have spent a little more time with him? I was literally flying around trying to load stuff in the back of my truck. I was getting ready to go to the soccer field, and he came up to the house. I was in the back of the car. We were just chit-chatting, and I literally gave him that, I don't have time to talk, I'm sorry. You know, and he left, and 8 hours later, took his own life. If I had spent another 30 minutes with him, if I had spent more time with him, would that have changed? I don't know. There's a lot of hidden demons and a lot of issues going on. But the lesson that I've taken away from it is, if I could do something over again, is I would, if there were times that I thought about Jim and I didn't call him or I didn't text him, there were times that I now look back at that I should have taken that 10 minutes and got the call and just said, what's going on? What's going on? How's things? I wish I could have that back. So if you're thinking in your head is, they don't want to hear from me, they don't want me to text them, they do. They do want to do that. They do want to talk to you. They do want to have a text interaction with you. They do want you to pick up the phone. And it's there, man. It's people want it. People want it. I think it's so easy to be able to communicate now via text or whatever. Why not? Why not? What are they going to do? Not reply?
Yeah. What?
You know, they're going to do is they're going to be like, oh, this is so great to hear from you. To hear your voice or to hear about you. What's going on?
Now, I'll tell you, here's another piece of this. Rudy is a busy guy, okay? He's becoming a tycoon. So sometimes in his tycoon adventures, he gets sideways. So one day he calls me up, and I can tell in his voice, he's like, hey, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, uh-oh. And I tell him, so I listen to the whole story, and I say, I don't know if you wanted to hear it or not. I said, no, that's your fault. What? And so we talk, and then we have lunch, right? You don't have too many of those relationships where people know by the tone of your voice, you know, that you're fighting something, and that you're great enough friends to be able to sit down and talk, and then tell you like, yeah, you're wrong, man, you screwed that shit up, and then laugh, and then turn around and say, hey, thanks. I needed this, and then I'm out, and then back to doing whatever you're doing. To me, that's why those relationships are important, because you don't have that many of them on the planet. And
no, you don't.
And Rudy just said something. The way communications are now, you can pick up your phone right now, and whether it's find them on Facebook, send them a text message on your phone, you can say hi to them. But I would tell you, based on our experiences just recently, it's just a reminder, and I wanted to have them on this morning and talk about it. Stay connected, because the experience we just had, because we stayed connected, and we'll go out of, and I think because of that connection, we go out of our way for each other. For instance, okay, who's going? Well, Gunner's going. Max driving with Gunner. All right, Napa Man's going. Now, there's no way that Rudy's not going. At first it was, well, I might have to fly. I'm like, yeah, that dog ain't going to go hunting that day. And all of a sudden it's like, hey, I'm flying in this day. And then we don't even know all the other guys that are showing up. And it turns into this event where you get more than you ever thought you were even going to. You didn't even think you were going to go to a reunion, but you did. And then the other thing is, you find other guys who showed up that you're really good friends with who are struggling with something. And they look at you and say, hey, this is really good for me. Like, well, wait a minute. Well, let's go have dinner, because one of the guys that we're talking about lives on the West Coast. Hey, well, we'll get over together. You know, why aren't we doing that? Good question. So just a plug, get connected, okay, because all of us are still I texted Rudy. For whatever reason, Rudy thinks that Napa Man's Cylon check-in is the funniest thing he's ever heard in his life. Right?
It could be up there with the funniest.
With the single funniest.
He doesn't miss a beat with it either, and he tells it accurately, and you might hear the story and go, there's no way that happens. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and then he sews in his little, he's a little bit indignant with himself that he didn't know that it was a rotary wing platform, that he thought it was a fixed wing platform, right? And while he's checking in, he sews in little editorial comments. And Rudy was sitting there, and he had tears in his eyes. He's laughing. But you don't get that if you don't stay connected.
Yeah, that's true. And here's the one thing I'll say. I know you can
how much
get right
emptier,
through your next sentence.
How much emptier would your life be without the Cylon check-in? Seriously.
Well, the lesson learned is, how much emptier would your life be if you didn't have the relationships that we have with these people? And I think what people need to realize, and a takeaway is you are more important to other people's lives than you think you are. And I will tell you that walking into General Furness's house, and the first two pictures you see as you walk into his house is pictures of us. Right.
I wasn't in either one, so don't say us, and I'm still not happy about it.
I don't know where you were that day, but for some reason you're not in that group.
I'm not in either one of them.
I will say that he's not putting that up there because it was, you know, it's just a fill wall space, right? It's those relationships that he has with those group of individuals that's considered to be the top relationships that he has in his life. And that's when you realize he thinks about me just as much as I think about him, right? Don't go heads down, narrow view of life that you're in it by yourself when you're not, right? We're thinking about you just as much as you think about as me, but maybe it just takes that one text or that one call to re-energize that relationship. And what I've found is that it's people, it's a gravitational pull and like a magnetic draw that everyone appreciates it beyond measure, right? Beyond measure. And the five of us have found it just in this kind of group text that we have going on, but it doesn't mean that we can't bring in more, or that we don't have more relationships with other people, or whatever the case may be. And that you should always the lesson now is, for me, is if I think about that person now, I should call them, right? I don't want to hesitate. I don't want to relive what I did with Jim when I saw him that day and he took his life later. And that death is like extremely extreme, but I'll tell you that it's important. That lesson to me, I wish I had taken that extra second or something to just, tell the guy, hey, can we get together tomorrow? Or what are you doing tomorrow? You know what I mean? It's like, right. I don't want them to feel alone and that I'm not thinking about them or that I'm not, they're not an important part of my life, because they are.
All right. So the bottom line is get connected, right?
Yeah.
It does nothing, but I can tell you, and I don't want to sound like a chick, and not that there's anything wrong with sounding like a chick, but all of us are still, like, laughing and I think in better moods simply because of last week. It was fun. It was, I mean, we laughed the entire time we were together. That, I mean,
except when you and Gunnar were arguing. You guys were
we laughed about that later. Well, maybe not with him. He didn't think it was funny, but you did. I did. I wasn't bothered by it. Whatever. That's the way it goes.
Well, that's the way it goes. I mean, the thing is, I love about you is, like, that's just him. I love him. He's one of the bros. Like, I love the guy. Like, just,
come on. How can you not?
Come on.
All right, bottom line, if you're not connected, get connected. It's too easy. And again, you're not doing, again, keep your honor clean. Why do you keep your honor clean? You keep your honor clean for you. Why do you get connected? You're going to help out a lot of people. But guess what? Who you're going to help the most? You. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to love it. Your life's going to be better if you're connected. So anyway, thanks for doing this morning. Kurt Knowles, also known as call sign Rudy. And he's going to come back next week with your niece. Is that who you're going to bring back?
So my niece, Peyton Davis, is working her way up. She's a pretty big deal in the country music lane. And she's in Nashville right now, singing almost every night in some type of venue. And she's actually been able to start coordinating with the USO. So she might be heading out on a USO tour.
Awesome. We love the USO.
Well, yeah, for country music. And she's got some things that's happened in her life that I think would be worth talking about on the show. So hopefully we can work that out and run there with you guys, or you can do it just with her. I think it'd be well worth your time. So.
Got it. All right, man. Thanks for the visit.
Okay. I will talk to you later, my friend.
There you have it. Kurt Knowles, Rudy, Tycoon. More of Allmarine Radio. Grant Newsham's going to join us next. I'm going to lay my China theory on him. More of that coming up next on a Tuesday edition of Allmarine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.